Ave Maria, welcome to another edition of Building a Marian Culture. Today, we're going to speak particularly about pilgrimages and one pilgrimage in particular, given that pilgrimages are a beautiful way of us getting to know Our Lady better, not only getting to know her maternal presence and experiencing the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary in these places of pilgrimage, but also getting to know her maternal care for her children in what she's done in these places. We think of Fatima, for example, the message that Our Lady gave at Fatima. We can know more about her and her Immaculate Heart, at Lourdes, with her Immaculate Conception. And in this particular place of pilgrimage that we're going to be speaking about today, at Guadalupe, we can in many ways contemplate Our Lady as a mother, the motherhood of Our Lady, her as universal mother. She is patroness of the Americas and of the West Indies, the Caribbean, and the Philippines. And she came to Guadalupe not only to console the people there in Mexico, she wanted a shrine to be built so that the people could come to her maternal heart, where she would show them her mercy. She came as a merciful mother. And it's beautiful, this relationship she had, this mother and son relationship with Saint Juan Diego, saying to him, am I not your mother? Are you not under my mantle? So particularly this message of a mother, and although she is patron for the Americas, so North America, South America, Central America, the Caribbean, and also the Philippines, she is mother of us all. So we can see her as universal mother at Mexico. And some have had the grace, this great privilege of actually going to Guadalupe. Many will be aware that there is a miraculous image of Our Lady there at Guadalupe, which would be a grace for any of us to go and see it, which I think there's a conveyor belt, I think, where you have a quick glance, but even to pass it and see it, to be face to face with the image that was imprinted on the tilma of Saint Juan Diego, what a grace. This was the lady who he saw, who left an imprint of herself on his tilma. We're very blessed to have here with us Mr. Paul Yates, who is a parishioner at St. Mary's Church in Gosport. Welcome, Paul, to Building a Marian Culture. Thank you for speaking to us, and we thank him for his generosity in sharing with us today his experience as he had the grace to go to Guadalupe. What a blessing that is. Paul is originally from Stoke and lived most of his life in Liverpool, now lives in Gosport. For 35 years he was in the Royal Navy, and he made this pilgrimage to Guadalupe, and we're going to learn a little bit about his experience and life was like there in Guadalupe, and he's going to read now to us his experience. So I'll hand over now to Paul, and we thank him for this testimony.
Thank you, Frau Rosario, and thank you for inviting me to speak about our experience, me and my wife Kathy, and how we came to go to Guadalupe. Our journey began many months ago when I was at one of the meetings with Tea with the Friars at the cafe down in Market Street. Kathy, my wife, had not heard of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and whilst I had heard her name, in my ignorance, I knew nothing about the shrine. As I said, that all changed after the meeting with Friar Rosario, who explained all about the apparition and the visitation to San Diego on the little hill outside Mexico City. On returning home after that, I explained to Kathy all that Fra Rosario had said to me, and before you knew it, I was checking out the flight times to Mexico. We chose a date which was on the 13th of March 2017, the day after that we had just done a 14-mile sponsored walk around London from Moorfields Eye Hospital, where they'd recently done two operations on my son's son to save his sight. After that, we then left for Terminal 5, and 11 and a half hours later, we were touching down in Mexico City, the second most populated city in the world, with over 25 million people. We were staying in the centre of the city, which was approximately 25-minute taxi ride away from our hotel. And after checking in, we had an early night after our jet lag, so we could be refreshed, ready for the following day. I read that the metro was cheap and easy to use, and the station at Basilica di Santa Maria di Guadalupe on the outskirts of the city. Although it meant us using three different lines, we opted to use the metro over getting a taxi, as we first went in the morning during the rush hour and wanted to avoid the traffic. What they didn't mention in the guidebooks is the volume of people used on a daily basis that use the metro. And whilst I've used the metro many times in Italy, and particularly in Beijing, where they employ retired people there to push you into the carriage, nothing compared for us to go anywhere on a 50p ticket, and the volume of people that took up this option that greeted us on platform one. We were swept into the first arriving train, and then peering out of the carriage a few stops later, I realised it was our stop and we needed to change lines. I managed to force and battle our way out of the carriage and onto the platform, and whilst I had a hold of Kathy, behind me the doors closed, on leaving her the front half of her body outside of the train and the lower half inside the train. Unlike London, the doors don't automatically open. I had hold of both her arms and pulled her with all my might, which forced her legs off of the ground inside the carriage, whereupon a man got hold of her legs and helped push her out of the door. The doors never opened throughout, but eventually between the two of us, I managed to drag Kathy onto the platform just before the train pulled out. Bleeding from her hand and feeling rather shaken, we headed to line 3, where thankfully the crowds weren't quite as bad. Eventually, after changing lines again, we reached our destination. 5 minutes later, we were walking up the approach towards the Basilica. Within the area of the Basilica, there are a number of shrines which have been erected in order to commemorate the various important events, such as the Chapel of the Little Hill, where the Virgin appeared to San Diego for the first time, and where he cut the roses that were proof of the apparitions. The Chapel of the Little Well, built to commemorate the healing properties attributed to the spring, found near to the place where the Virgin gave the flowers to San Diego. We first went to the old Basilica, which was solemnly dedicated to Christ the King on the 27th of April 1709, and where the Virgin remained for 267 years until it's transferred to the new Basilica on the 12th of October 1976. There's a beautiful statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe here in the old Basilica. We then went over to the new Basilica to see Our Lady of Guadalupe, which has a capacity to hold 10,000 people. When we arrived, Mass had already started. I have to say there is Mass here on the hour, every hour throughout the day. And there above the altar was the Virgin's image on the white tilma. The Virgin told Juan Bernardo, uncle of San Diego, whom the Virgin had healed, and gave him the message that her beloved image would be named the Always Holy Virgin Mary of Guadalupe. We then went down to the side and under the altar, where there are four moving escalators which keep the pilgrims moving beneath the tilma. We then went back out into the Basilica for the hourly Mass, sitting not far from the monumental organ, which is formed of 7,330 flutes, and under the 134 hanging lamps, all in the shape of roses. Nearby is a large crucifix, which was damaged on the 14th of November 1921, when a bomb exploded, which was placed there trying to destroy the image of Our Lady. We then said our rosary. We offer the prayers to thank Our Lady for all the wonderful work of Father Serafino, Father George, Father Pio, and how lucky we are to have all the friars in Gosport. Also, for all the people of the parish and work of the pro-life group. There are a number of confessional boxes in the Basilica, so I went to the information kiosk to see if any of the priests could speak English. There was one priest who did, and he could be found in box 3. So we went and joined the queue to wait our turn. When we eventually got third from the front, the father came out with the confessional box, so I asked him if it was possible for him to hear our confession. He replied that he had now to go and say Mass, but would hear our confession afterwards. So we joined him for Mass in one of the side chapels at the side of the main altar. After Mass, we walked up the steps at the back of the chapel into the sacristy, where the father said he would hear our confession. We were very privileged because the sacristy is next to the large vault which safeguards and houses the tilma from the back and can't be seen from the basilica. We were now only a few feet away from the image of Our Lady and where we were having our confession. It was a very, very moving moment. Also by the vault is a statue of San Diego holding the roses, one of which Father gave to me and Kathy. We then went outside into the piazza and started climbing the steps up the little chapel on the hill where San Diego cut and collected these roses. On the side, as you come back down, you pass through some wonderful gardens and also a beautiful statue of Our Lady with San Diego and some of the other Indians who are paying homage to Our Lady, surrounded by a number of waterfalls. It was a lovely place where we would return to each day just to sit and reflect on our time here. The following day, we wisely decided not to take the metro, but instead took a 25-minute taxi ride back to the Basilica. I'd noticed on the previous day there was a number of pilgrims who go on their knees from the gates of the Basilica area across the piazza and into the new Basilica, then up the aisle to the gates right in front of the altar and the image of Our Lady. There were also other pilgrims who didn't turn their backs on Our Lady, so after walking up the aisle, they would then walk backwards to exit the Basilica, and in doing so would always be facing Our Lady. This morning we attended the 9 o'clock Mass, which was the main Mass of the day, and was celebrated by a number of priests. Although my Spanish only extends to as far as hola, I could tell that the priest who gave the homily was giving a very powerful message to the congregation. We just wish we could understand or had it translated for us. Within the Basilica itself, there are 9 further chapels which are raised around the Basilica and are available for visiting priests to say Mass with their parishes on a daily basis. After Mass, I went back to the information booth where I previously got a leaflet explaining the apparitions of the Virgin of Guadalupe, as McCarthy had wanted one for one of her friends who is a non-believer. Unfortunately, despite my best sign language, I could not explain well enough to any of the assistants what I wanted. I then tried in the gift shop to see if anyone there could translate for me, as there are a number of younger staff who might have learnt English at school. We didn't meet many Mexicans apart from our hotel staff who could actually speak English. However, once again, my lack of Spanish wasn't getting me far until one pilgrim overheard me struggle and offered to help to explain. What I explained was I wanted if she could come with me to the kiosk where I could get a leaflet. I thanked her and asked her a name. She replied, "My name is Guadalupe." "Wow," I said, "what a wonderful name." On our last day in Mexico City, we went by bus to the Basilica, where we got talking to a lady who was there with a friend and a daughter from Argentina, all of whom could speak good English. We got on really well with them, and then one of the ladies explained why they were on their way to see Our Lady of Guadalupe. It was her daughter's first 15th birthday that day. By the time of her birth, she was a single mum of 19 and all alone living in Argentina. So she offered up her daughter to Our Lady of Guadalupe to look after her, and in doing so named her Guadalupe. She had grown into a wonderful daughter, and she promised Our Lady that one day she would come to Guadalupe to offer thanks. That day was today. So when we got off the bus, we walked with them to visit Our Lady, but we kept our distance to allow them her own time, the image of Our Lady. It was a very moving moment, and one me and Cathy will never forget, especially when Guadalupe went down on her own to light some candles to thank Our Lady. Cathy then had an idea, so the two of us left for a while and went down to the gift shop, where Cathy brought a white set of rosary beads. We later met the family again, and Cathy gave Guadalupe the rosary beads as a birthday present, but more importantly, to pray the rosary. There were tears all round as the mother broke down and said she would remember this moment for the rest of her life. All too soon, it was time to go back on the bus and into the city and say our goodbyes to the family. Whilst taking a few photographs, and as Cathy would say, it was one of those treasure box moments. During our time at the Basilica, we met a group of Polish nuns who were now at a convent in New York, and we then only saw one other Western family throughout our whole time in the Basilica. Many of the pilgrims carry floral floats in honour of Our Lady, and some are dedicated to San Diego and to his sick uncle Bernardino. Before I finish, I just wanted to share something with you. When we were at the hotel, Cathy had to check her mobile, as she always does, and soon realised it was nowhere to be found. Normally at this point, she would have been very frantic, but today it was not the case, and she was nothing but calm. I found this very strange, as I knew she had many treasured photographs on there, none more so than the photograph she'd taken of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I asked her, "Why are you being so calm about it?" Whereupon she replied, "It's all right, Our Lady will find it for me." My thought was it might be on the bus, so I went to the reception and they contacted the bus company, who said that they would speak to the driver. Later that evening, we got a message to say that they had found the phone whilst cleaning the bus and would return it later that day, which they duly did. Once again, the power of prayer and the faith of Our Lady came through. Not once throughout the hours we waited for confirmation that they found the phone did I see Cathy so relaxed. I was just amazed. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for sharing with us your experience. A lot of things that happened that are quite moving. I like the episode with Guadalupe.
Yes.
Your wife gave her the rosary.
Yes.
And it's nice that you saw her go and light the candle.
And give her some time on her own and seeing the mother just break down in tears because... She had to say her mother was only 19 and she became pregnant. She was all alone and she didn't know what to do. And so she turned to Our Lady, named the baby after Our Lady of Guadalupe, and asked Our Lady to look after her, which obviously she duly did. And she seemed a wonderful young lady, as I only knew that day. And then just to see her light the candles and break down was a sight to behold.
Yeah. Amazing. I think something we can take from it is the trust that we can grow in through particularly Our Lady, her maternity, knowing that she's a mother who will take care of us, you know, not in a presumptuous way where, you know, we presume we don't have to comply with anything that Our Lady does and everything will be okay. No, but that trust of a child that their mother loves them, and if they entrust themselves to her, she'll take care of them. Just like the mother of Guadalupe did.
Yes.
She had nothing, basically.
No.
But she trusted. She knew that Our Lady was where she could go. That maternal heart of Mary is where she could go when you have nothing and when it would appear possibly there's no hope. And this message of hope, this trust in Our Lady, is actually what she was looking for with Saint Juan Diego. There's an episode of when she had asked him to return to the place of the apparitions, but knowing his uncle was sick, He didn't go.
No, he didn't go.
You know, so he took another route, but she intercepted him.
Definitely.
And throughout her dialogue with him, you know, she's trying to assure him, I'm your mother. I'll take care of you. And I like the way how toward the end of your trip, your wife, Kathy, she showed this trust.
Different.
Even if it's in a very simple example, but still the same, let's say, temptations would be there, the temptation to almost despair and say, well, I have no means of it returning to me.
No.
I have nothing, let's say.
Mm.
You know, in many ways, I see the fruit of the time there in Guadalupe where, you know, at the beginning, it was a rough ride.
It was.
Literally.
Yes.
Let's say the train.
Yes.
Episode.
Yes.
And
It was the mobile phone fryer was, lots of personal photographs on there, which was the main thing. But the main thing was, it was our last day, and Kathy had taken some wonderful pictures of our time in the Basilica, and more importantly, the image of Our Lady. And as they normally, she would have been devastated, but she was calm, per se, and just had every faith that Our Lady would return it, and then she did.
Yes. So that's something, you know, we can see it as a fruit of knowing Our Lady's, our mother, how she knows what's best for us, how she knows what our needs are, and she'll provide.
Hmm.
So I like the way, it's a good test, a great testimony, the way your wife trusted in Our Lady, her maternal care, and she did provide. And, you know, and also when I speak about how it, the beginning, you know, even the fact of not speaking Spanish, you know, but
Our Lady intervened.
Our Lady intervened there as well. So it's like it because this is what a pilgrimage. This should be the fruit of our pilgrimage, that and we that grow.
And the non-believer should say, Fry, that eventually we got the leaflet explaining about Guadalupe and all the rest of it. And to my knowledge, that now she's Kathy's encouragement to say the rosary, because she's read about Our Lady of Guadalupe. So there's hope. There's real hope there now that, you know, she will start believing.
Yes, and this is another aim of this program, building a Marian culture, is not only to help us grow in love and knowledge of Our Lady, but to help us become apostles of Our Lady. Even in the little things that we can do, and to try to encourage someone else to know and experience that love of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a great witness. So it's great that we're able to hear this, that, you know, your wife reached out and tried to bring someone close to Our Lady. But yes, this trust and this confidence that Our Lady will provide. And you see how she looked after you during your time there. And you see how even when looking for a place to go to confession, how Our Lady provided a place that was so close to her.
We were literally a couple of yards away. And it's just something you wouldn't normally see, because it's like a bank vault. Because obviously I mentioned earlier on that somebody tried to blow her up. And you see this big cross, and you can see the damage on the cross from the result in the explosion. But Our Lady looked after us and brought us, although we didn't get confession there in the box, we went to a far more special place, which is literally outside the door of where Our Lady was. And it was very, very touching, very moving.
So let us learn from this, the faith and confidence, the trust that Our Lady would like us to have, and that we can have if we let her be in control. This trust that should enable us to say, she's watching over us, she knows what we need, she'll take care of us. And I think that's something we all need to learn. And I'm glad that Paul and Kathy experienced that during their time at Guadalupe, and they even had this beautiful gift, let's say, from Our Lady to meet this young Guadalupe, who was able to go. They saw her literally go to their mother and thank her. So let us, together with Paul and Kathy, thank Our Lady for the graces she's been given to them and to all of our parishioners and to all of us, her children. And let us ask that we continue to grow in this love for Our Lady, in this our earthly pilgrimage, hoping that one day we'll see our Blessed Mother as they saw the image of Guadalupe. We pray we'll see her face to face in our heavenly home. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.